Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Kay Malmquist, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Everyone, to another exciting edition of Meet the People of MCB. We're so happy that you have joined us today. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Malmquist.
Boy, I tell you, Kay, we got to visit with this guest that we're about ready to interview. And boy, I tell you, he shared with us some pretty exciting things, didn't he?
Yeah, I think we almost forgot to do Meet the People and just we're going to carry on our own conversation over here.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on someone that I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from today. His name is Michael Hopper. Mike, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you, Chip and Kay.
Well, Mike, what we like to do, we're going to start off today and have you share with us. Tell us a little bit about your vision loss. What was the cause or whatever you would like to share with us about your vision loss?
Okay, well, so I didn't even know until I lost my vision, but I was born 3.5 months premature. So I was born blind in my left eye at birth. And I had vision in my right eye that was correct. That was corrected with they did some surgeries. I don't know exactly what they did back in those days, you know, when I was like 5 or 6. I think one was to my eyes were crossed and they fixed that. And I don't know what else they did, to be honest. And anyway, I was able to see with glasses and then and drive and live a normal life and, you know, have kids and do everything. And then November of 2016, I was driving down the road and I couldn't see the lines in the road at all. And I was just like, something is really wrong. And anyway, I found out I had a detached retina and about had some complications with the gas or something. Then I had a second surgery. Anyway, I had 2 more detachments, and by the third surgery, they put silicone oil in and said, you know, here's the silicone oil. This is working and it's working. And kind of like it is what it is at this point, because now my optical pressure is so low that they can't really do surgery. You know, it's like a 5 or 7 or something, and there's a lot of scar tissue from all the surgery, so going in and taking the oil out to see if it would improve vision is just not an option. So anyway, so that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm, you know, have legally blind at that point, and that's kind of it, and it's been pretty stable ever since then, so I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, so do you do have some residual vision remaining?
Yes, I have some. Like, it's like 2400. I can kind of make out the E, you know. Basically, that's what they told me. If you can make out the biggest letter, yours 2400.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? They're like, yeah, pretty much. You can even just a good guess, and that's where you're at. Because beyond that, it's not on the chart, you know.
Yeah. So how was it for you, Michael, to adjust to your vision loss the way that it came on so sudden?
How was it to adjust? Wow. Yeah, well,
mentally. I mean, I'm sure that you had some great concerns, worries.
Definitely lost. I lived in Wisconsin at the time. And so I lived right on the river in Jefferson, Wisconsin. And so, I mean, I didn't have a job anymore. So you lose that. And a year goes by and I had to surrender my car. You know, so you definitely get lost in the world. You know, you don't know and to some extent, your job or your career is not completely, but some of your identity, you know, like it's what you do. You go to work.
Yeah.
Now that's over.
Yeah.
And so I definitely went into a lot of depression. I got depressed, you know. I mean, I found myself like I live within 5 minutes of 5 bars. So I go to bars, hang out in bars, and I'm like, well, this is, you know what I mean? And you start realizing that, man, there's a lot of people that come to bars every single day. It's the same people every single day. They come there for lunch. They come there for dinner. They live in this park. And you don't realize that. And then you realize you're one of those people now.
Yeah.
Nothing to do. You're like, what am I going to do? Yeah. So then I got into, I went through rehab services and decided I was going to try to work. But where I lived, there just really wasn't anything available. You know, there was a lot of, with my skill set, there really wasn't nothing for me to do. I couldn't find anything. So I decided to sell stuff on eBay. So I started selling jeans on eBay, and that worked. It worked pretty well. I mean, I had a whole room set up, and I thought, this is it, you know. And I went to this store where they were really good about checking for holes and stains and stuff, so I didn't have to worry about that. And they would literally measure it, so the measurements were good, and I didn't have to worry about that. So it was like a lot of the work was taken out of it, you know. So anyway, I did that for a while, and then I ended up moving to Missouri.
Okay. So were you born and raised in Wisconsin?
No, Georgia. I was born in Georgia, and then I moved to there, and then I moved away from there in 97, I believe. Yeah. And moved to Florida for 10 years. Then I moved to Wisconsin for 11 or 12 years, and I moved here.
Okay. So what was it that actually brought you to Missouri?
Family.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about your, okay. Let's talk about your family a little bit. You got brothers, sisters, immediate family. Share with us about your family.
Yeah. My that was living here, it was my aunt and then cousins, and they lived pretty close, you know, up the road. And then my mom moved here. I don't know what year that it was. It's been about 5 years ago. And, that's what happened. My mom, my stepdad were here. They moved right across the street from my aunt. Then my cousin lives next door to her. So they all kind of live there. So I came here basically, and then decided like where I'd live. They were selling my house in Wisconsin. So the house. So anyway, I moved here to be near my mom and family and stuff. And so that's what brought me here. And I don't really have any. I've got some stepbrothers, two stepsisters, but I don't really. So, you know, I don't really talk to him very much. You know what I mean? There's no closeness there. So I basically was an only child. And then, so I moved here and I've got three children of my own. My son ended up moving here from Wisconsin. So he lives on Pommeter. And then I have two daughters. One lives in Wisconsin still, and one lives in Georgia, which leads to another situation. I have my daughter in Georgia has three grandchildren or three children plus two children. So she has five kids. So a lot of grandchildren.
Yeah. So where do you call home right now? We're about in Missouri. I know you're around Lake Bolivar. Stockton there. Okay, Bolivar. All right, very good.
We're not in Lake Stockton. Okay. That's an issue. That's definitely been an issue as far as, because I guess geographically we're in Bolivar. We're trying to help the whole county of Polk County as an affiliate, because there is no one else. We don't have a lot of affiliates around us, and we're just, you know, want to help. It, you know, Polk County and surrounding areas is what we're really going for. And we really need to kind of put that into words, but we can't really do that right now, I guess. But
okay.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Kate. But I got to tell you, I'm always amazed and intrigued. It seems like every single guest that we interview, Kay has some connection. I'm just struck by that. You're from Wisconsin. Kay's from Wisconsin. I don't. It just sounds like every guest that we interview, there's just some connection. Kay, what is it about you that you have this connection with people?
I try not to figure this out. I'd probably go mad or something. It is kind of cool though. And of course, my ears did kind of perk up and stuff when you mentioned Jefferson, Wisconsin, because of course I know right where that is. I'm actually from Janesville.
I know where that is. I used to go to the mall there, and I used to go shopping there.
Yep. Well, so of course I was interested, and then you said you lived there for about 11 years or so, and that's really to me that's always fascinating. So I mean, I'm sure we could talk, and we'd know this and that and the other
for
thing.
Sure. Yeah, it still baffles me when they go, "Yep, schools are closed. It's going to rain a half. It's going to snow a half inch tomorrow." And I'm like, what? Don't you have small trucks?
I don't want to take up a lot of time, but that happened to us. We moved in 97. We moved to Oklahoma, and my kids were, of course, school age back then. And we sent them down to the foot of our driveway, which is about 750 feet long, to wait for the school bus. And they waited and waited and came back home. And they said, the school bus didn't come. And we figured they missed it. And we called the school and they said, oh, no, school's canceled. And I said, why? And they said, it was snow. We'd gotten about a quarter of an inch of snow. And they canceled school. And we're just like, what snow?
Yeah, that's the same thing I see here. It's like, it's kind of funny. Because in Wisconsin, yep, it'll be like 20 below zero wind chill. Oh, we have a 2-hour delay. Or, you know, I mean, like they delay school or something, but they don't usually, I mean, they ain't closing school for.
No, and Janesville was the last school district that would cancel. I mean, oh my goodness. But yeah, so that's really neat to hear that you're from Wisconsin. And so I'm going to kind of backtrack a bit here and ask you Chip. he asked you when you moved to Missouri, and you had said that, but I'm kind of curious to go back a little further. What kind of a work history do you have, and what sorts of jobs did you take on over the years?
Oh, I did a little bit of everything when I was young. You know, I had to work for a landscaping company, and then I worked for a plumbing company and a painting company. Worked in restaurants, you know, I was a cook for Shoney's, you know, I had a lot of sides. I always had side jobs or side businesses of some kind for, you know, most of my life. Actually, until I moved to Wisconsin, I always did side work and side jobs or whatever. But I did, but my main career was, I did injection molding for 25 years. I made stuff out of plastic. I did custom injection molding. So I worked in several companies. So I've made all different kinds of stuff with a lot of different kinds of engineering plastics and things that you just don't see in the, you know, not necessarily consumer products, but like, you know, car, you know, stuff like dipsticks. We made those. I worked for a company that made all the dipsticks for like Honda, Chevrolet, Ford. They didn't make it for Toyota because Toyota was one of those companies where if they get a delivery and one piece in that whole box or that whole pallet is off, they send it all back. Like they are super, super, super high quality. So it's hard to do business with people like that, you know?
Okay. So
I'm not saying it's not quality, but I'm just, you know what I mean? They're just, some of their rules are a little ridiculous, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think apparently we've lost Kay for a time here. I don't know what happened there. So I'll just kind of pick up where she may have left off.
So the injection molding part, I was a process setup technician. So yeah. I did all the processing and setups and stuff like that. And I've been a production supervisor. I worked on machines, done a lot of very mechanically inclined, I guess you'd say. I worked, electrical, pneumatics, hydraulics. Been blow molding, so that's kind of the world I was in for a long time. So that's when I worked at Master Lock in Milwaukee, and we made all the plastic bumpers for the bottom of the padlocks. We also made the housing for the like lockout tagout locks. You know, they're different colors depending on what they're for, and so that's what I was doing in my last job.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like you've had a variety of different jobs, and sounds like you kind of gotten an education on all the different kind of things that you do. I do find it very interesting that some of those places where you worked and the kind of things that you did and how you were able to develop an experience and gain knowledge from all the different kind of things that you did. So I think that's really great.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it was pretty exciting then. You lose it, when you've done things like start a brand new machine up for the first time and do something you've never done, run something that's never, no one in the world's ever seen, It's definitely an exciting thing. It's like giving birth to something. It's like someone had an idea and there it is.
Yeah.
It's really cool to take a thought and turn it into an actual something
you can hold in your feet. Yeah. You bet. You bet. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So here you are, you're in Missouri, you're getting established, and I'm sure you talked about your mom being here and all that, so it wasn't like, oh, this is brand new to you, so apparently you probably had visited your mom different times and visited Missouri, right?
No, not really. I've been here a couple times. I actually Not very, twice, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I came here and surprised her on Mother's Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, that's, I mean, I come here about probably two times before it, but I could stay for, you know, I would stay for like a week or you know, a week or so, because I mean, I could, you know. So,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
yeah, anyway, yeah, I've been so, yeah, so I ended up buying a house here in Bolivar. And yeah, so I'm kind of what were you leading with that?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then
Yeah.
how did you get involved with the Missouri Council of the Blind?
Oh, well, here's a good story. I was I walk a lot, and I was walking up to the Frisco Trail, and there's a sidewalk comes off 32, and I'm walking up the sidewalk, and Roger Jewell was walking down the sidewalk, and he's like, "Hey, you have a cane." So we became like, that's how that works, isn't it? Like, oh, you have a white cane too? We're automatically in the club. We're like cane friends. But
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how I met him and talked to him, and then went to a meeting, and that's the end of that. And I've, you know, went to meetings, and I went to camp, and I, you know, went to conference, and I mean, honestly, MCB's changed my life, you know,
Good,
truly
yeah.
did, truly did. Just by
Yeah.
the people and just by the people that I've met in it, you know, met a lot of really close friends. I have a lot of close friends now that I didn't
Yeah.
have before.
Oh, Mike, that's really great. That's awesome. Yeah.
All because I ran into this blind guy on a walking trail.
So tell
Yeah.
us about your experience, your first time going to summer camp. How was that for you?
Well, the camp here seems pretty good. I mean, I like the rafting, the floating and stuff. The river's nice. Also went to the blind camp in Wisconsin, which is really, really nice. It's actually, you know, paid for, you know, by the Lions and all that. Big presence there. But that's really cool. They have a zip line there, and
Okay.
they have a 3-story climbing tower where you harness up, and you have, it's like what do they call that? It's like it's a challenge, you know. It's
Yeah.
really is, because I mean, people are literally up there crying. I mean, it's just
Ah.
it's to overcome fear, you know what I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah,
what they
yeah.
call it. But it's like a
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a really cool thing to see, because when you see a person climbing up and doing something they've never done before, and then you have to jump off. There's no other way down. You have to jump. And so by
Ooh.
doing that, you have a lot of faith and trust into what you're jumping with, you know, with the people around you. You can't see
Right,
anything.
right,
So if that doesn't build confidence, I don't know what would. But it's just really cool to see people that were scared and crying, and they do it, and then they're like, "I did it." Like, that's super cool. How
Yeah,
cool is
okay,
that?
all right,
But anyway,
well,
yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I like all the camps. I think anything that brings people together with it, they have a common understanding of life or problems in the same life. You know, everybody that has visual issues have a lot of the same issues, you know. We can relate, you know.
You bet. Well, Kay has just rejoined us, and I'm going to turn it back over to her, but I do have one other question for you before I do that. Now, you attended our state convention this for the first time this past October. Give us your thoughts about that.
Well, I think it was okay. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, I think it was okay. I mean, I don't know. Well, I didn't know really what to compare it to, because I've never been to any MCB conferences before. It's different because I've been to Lion conventions, and they're completely different. They're
Yeah.
set up differently. They all have
Right.
rooms. It's just a little. It's way, way. It's different. That's kind of how I met. I mean, that really is how I found out about like Leader Dog. I went there for orientation mobility training. I learned a lot from them. I mean, that's kind of how I met the Lions and everything
Yeah.
was, you
Okay.
know.
Okay. Well, again, that's another connection that Kay has with you because she's been involved with the Lions for a long time. I don't even know why I'm here today. I mean, I might as well just keep my mouth shut and let you and Kay carry on a conversation because you guys have so much in common. There you go, Kay.
Yeah. There you go. I was a Jefferson Lion.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I used to collect all the glasses at, you know, from all the collection boxes, and I would count them up, and then they send them into the headquarters, I guess, there at the camp, and then they sort them out. And they go to Chile. Everything just about goes to Chile, but I mean,
Yeah.
It's a pretty, there's a lot of fascinating stories I can tell you about that. That's a whole nother thing. But
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's cool to help people with vision when you have, you know, when you have vision. You know, I mean, here I am in the Lions Club, and all these people can see. Most Lions can see. There's not a lot of, you know what I mean? And here I am, blind. And so it was really, it really meant more to me than I feel like than people, you know what I mean? It just meant more. It means a lot.
Sure, sure.
Because it
okay.
affects you. So it's so personal, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Kay, are you back with us?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there with her. But all right, so we'll just keep talking here, and maybe she'll be able to. I know that she came back on, but I don't know if she's been able to unmute or what's going on there. So let's just go ahead and carry on the conversation here.
Oh, hopefully this is better.
There you go. Oh, all right.
She is.
Okay. Well, I heard you talking about Lions Camp, and yes, as a kid, I used to do the 2-week program in the summer. I loved it. I met kids from all over the state, and then, of course, as an adult, a group out of Milwaukee, we used to rent the camp on Labor Day weekend, and then on the President's Day weekend, and we'd go cross-country skiing and different things like that. But the rappelling tower is what you're talking about, and yeah, rappelling is something else, I'll tell you. I have a friend of mine that actually smashed his ankle up pretty good doing it. But if you do it okay and you do it the right way, it's all good. But it was a lot of fun.
They had just built this one when I went. That was probably 3 or 4 years ago. 3 years ago, yeah. I think. Yeah, maybe 4 years ago. But it's an automatic belayer. It's like just it's automatic. So the way they have you jumping, it's real safe. They got kids doing this stuff. It's a real safe setup, but it's definitely scary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just like, jump. You're like, really? And you're like, yeah, it'll work.
As long as it hangs. Well,
I'm up there and I'm like, was this thing made in China, man? Tell me where this thing was manufactured. Because it's an automatic belayer. So it does it all. But the guy's like, oh, there's a lot of safeties in it. He's telling me all this from the ground, right? Because I'm a little skeptical.
Well, if you're doing actual rappelling, that's where you literally kick yourself away from the tower and you determine how fast you come down and everything else. So
yeah.
That's a bit different. But,
yeah, that's different than this.
Well, anyway, so back to your question about the Lions. Yeah, last year I was the president of the St. Louis Southside Lions. And so I have been involved with the Lions Club for quite some time. And I was a member of the Janesville Evening Lions as well. But, It's just a lot of fun, and we do seem to have quite a bit in common. And you had mentioned something, and now I've forgotten what it was. So my question is, didn't know if you had gotten done talking about, you know, your work history and different things like that, and then we got talking about several things. So I've got to try to regain where I was and.
We kind of got through his work history, and then we kind of got involved in talking about how he got involved with MCB and those different kind of things. And then he shared his experiences at camp and, you know, attending a state convention for the first time. And now I think that's when you kind of rejoined us. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Oh, okay. You were talking about the state convention, and it's kind of funny because you really weren't sure, you know, what to say about the state convention. And I can appreciate that. I know Vice President Chip and I are really working on trying to come up with some cool ideas that are going to have people more engaged and maybe have more fun and still get information out to people. But I did understand what you meant when you said that the Lions, well, the district, the state conventions and all that kind of thing are different. They're definitely set up in a different way. That's what we want to see, is people really enjoying themselves and being interactive and things. So it'll be interesting when we come up with a definite plan. I think you're going to find some really cool things added to the convention to make it more interesting. I know it's hard because in your case, I don't know how many people you know. A lot of these guys, when they come to this convention, they're meeting people that they haven't seen in a year or whatever. And so that in itself makes it interesting and fun for them, too. It's about socialization as well as the meetings. And I know, I think if people had their way, it would be socialization, period, end of statement.
Yeah, that's how it works. Even with camps, you know, I mean, I met people in Lions Camp that met there and got married. And here they were 30 years later, still going to camp. And and you see that kind of stuff. And a lot of those people, unfortunately for some people, that is their entire, that's their thing, you know. Going to camp is about the only thing they do in life, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I knew a couple of guys, they lived in group homes, and they just didn't do anything else. They went to camp.
Yep.
So it was like a really, really, really big thing for them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like they waited year for it.
I don't know if you know about our summer camp program, but I guess that's the first perfect place to put that in, is that we have 2 weeks that you can go to camp. It's Cobblestone down by Steelville. Mm-hmm. And then there's the long September weekend that you can go there. And it's a lot like Lions Camp, really.
I went last year. I went last year and met, it was like a social thing there for sure, too.
Okay. Yeah. Chip, do you have any other questions?
Yeah. So
I'll come up with my usual questions. Okay,
Yeah. So, Mike, here you are. You're visually impaired. So have you been able to adapt to some technology that's been able to assist you as a result of, being an individual with a vision loss?
I use a CCTV to look at mail. You know, and then I use my phone.
Uh-huh.
And I use my, Aftershock's headset is a really big part of my life, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, it really does. Yeah. So that's really it. I try to keep it to a minimum as much as possible, you know, because it's just, otherwise it's just more stuff to keep up with,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I really do try to keep the technology to a minimum, even though I know that it's necessary, you know, as far as for many things, you know what I mean? I can't read, you can't, I'm a, and that's pretty much it as far as that goes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you do use like an iPhone?
I used to use a Galaxy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So an Android. Okay.
22 Ultra.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah.
I use that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, have so, you, so do you feel like that you've kind of gotten acclimated pretty well to MCB and some of the services and programs that we offer?
Well, I know you got camp, and I know they do the, now I know you're doing the, the white cane thing, providing a cane for people that need a cane, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I just learned about that, so I guess Roger had something to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
he does.
Cool. That's a really cool thing. That's a cool thing that, because, you know, a lot of people, I mean, yeah, that's a good thing. There's a lot of people, especially when you first lose your vision and you become legally blind. I mean, nobody wants to get a cane. Nobody wants to walk with a cane. Nobody wants to. And a lot of people don't, you know, they'll try and go as long as you possibly can without one. But here's an opportunity where you really can't say, well, I can't afford it, because it's right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember when I lost my eyesight back in the late 70s, and I had gone to a program for the blind up in Kansas City, and it was a 6-month program. And I got through that program. Cool. I went through that program 3 months, and it was only because of my attitude. I did not want to learn all the blindness skills. I didn't want to be known as a person who was blind, visually impaired. I was embarrassed and ashamed of my blindness. So when I got home, I put away my Braille writer, I put away my cane, and I just refused to use any of those things. So it took some time. It took about 6-7 years of downtime before I really was able to adjust to my blindness and accept it. Then I went back to that same program for the blind up in Kansas City and went through the whole thing in 6 months. And I loved it. I love learning all the different skills that would help me to be independent. And I just,
that's the whole key, is learning. Yeah. You didn't want to do it, but like I fell down, I probably could have killed myself. Actually, I went, you know, what happened was, I was going across a bridge. I thought it was a bridge that went, because I lived by a river, but I was disoriented, and I went across the railroad track bridge, which had no sides on it, going across this river, and I fell through the railroad ties and hurt my leg.
Oh no!
And realized once I realized I was on the wrong bridge, you know, I literally had to crawl across this bridge, and you know, within a few days I called up the leader. I was like, I got to get a cane, and I need to learn how to lean. I got to learn some things. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I got, I'm going to kill myself trying to not be blind, you know. But the truth is, you are, and you just have to deal with it. So, and I do learn. I do. So now, what I do is I try to be positive. Look at the positive side of it. There is a positive, you know. Like people, it's for your safety. It's not just for your, just so that you can walk. It's so that people around you, if you don't have that cane, they don't know you can't see.
Sure.
They don't know that. So they're always going to say, I'm like, hey, where's this at? They're going to be like, it's over there in the corner. It's right there. Go that way. You know, they're not, they won't know. And even with a cane, they're still going to tell you that sometimes.
Yeah, you bet.
You
know? Yep.
You know, right over there. There's an old saying. It says, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. And, you know, everybody, at least I'm not going to say everybody, because there's going to be some contradictions here, but so many people, when they lose their vision, that's the last thing they want to be presented with is a cane, because that means then they have to admit that they're blind, that they've lost their vision, and a lot of things. When they're ready, they'll be ready. And a good teacher and a good O&M instructor is going to know not to hand them a cane. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years that were just furious when they were presented with a cane. I'll never use that piece of garbage, you know, and stuff. Yeah. And then they come to the realization that it's actually helped them and it's for their better, you know.
Yeah, I met a guy, the guy that I went to O&M training with, he did the same thing. He lived in Texas. He rode a train every week. We rode a train back and forth to work. And he did the same job. And he said that one day he was at a meeting and all the windows and doors were all glass. And he walked right into the glass wall in front of all these people. And he realized, I can't hide this anymore. You know, like, I can't see. He came and gets training and, you know, and he's just has to own it. And I'm like, you just have to be now, you know, I mean, because it really does, you know, in some ways define you, because now, you know, I'm the blind, you know, you're that blind guy. You know, all my neighbors know me as, you know, there's Mike, the blind guy, blind Mike. You know, that's your, I mean, I even have people that call me that. Hey, what's going on, blind Mike? Oh my God, a blind Mike, huh? How come I can't be like rich Mike or super cool Mike? No, it's blind Mike.
Yep. Well, they used to call me Blind Joe, and my name's not even Joe, so that's what they used to call me.
You're like, man, this ain't even right. I got a name that doesn't make sense.
Kate, you want to ask your famous question?
Sure. So the question that I ask of everybody, and you get all kinds of different answers, and I suspect from you, we're going to get a good one. What is it about Mike Hopper that nobody knows that they people might find really interesting? It could be a hobby, it could be something you've done, someplace you've gone. It's all sorts of things. So if you got one, tell us about it.
Well, like I'd said, you know, when I first moved here, I don't know, it's been about 2 years ago, I got my medical marijuana card and cultivation license and started growing my own cannabis. And that's really helped me a lot with the anxiety of vision loss and, you know, going out at night. I go out at night now, and I didn't do that before. I used to just stay inside, you know, because I would be afraid, you know, can't see. Yeah. So anyway, that's something about me. And I love plants, not just any plants. I have two shelves, two wire racks in my living room to start seeds. And I've got over 400 tulips in my front yard because I can't see green. I'm color deficit to green, like, unless it's really close to me. So if I'm growing, if I'm inside, I can see the green. Or if I'm outside and I get really close to it, I can see it. But grass just looks brown to me. So I just started planting flowers. And so now my neighbors are going to be like, there's that blind guy with all those tulips in the yard. But it's going to be very spectacular. There'll be probably about 400 tulips in the front yard. And
that's cool.
People are going to stop. But yeah, that's probably something people don't not really know. Okay, unless you're like close to me in life, you know.
Well, that's neat. I know I grow a garden too. And I've got a lot of indoor plants and things like that. I never really got into growing cannabis or anything like that, but hey, I've got no issue with that, and I think there's going to be a real upturn in all that.
It's going to be a thing. I can say on a positive note, I have, you know, very good at, I know people that work at dispensaries, and a lot of the stories they tell me, a lot of the patients that come in are all in their, you know, 50s and 60s, And they're telling them how they now they don't take, you know, they don't take pain medicine, they don't take anti-anxiety or depression. Some people don't even somehow their blood pressure is lowered because I guess their anxiety is lower. I'm not sure, but because you know usually blood pressure is a physical thing. But there's just a lot of positives to it in the world. I'm sure it's pissing off the pharmaceutical company, but you know that's how it goes. I mean, a lot of people get rid of their sleep medication, and they're just using you know just different forms of cannabis. It's a very positive thing in the world. You know,
yeah,
I really do. I think it should be an option for anybody. If nothing, you know, it should just be an option. We live in a free country. It's just something that grows in the ground. We shouldn't be denied that. That's crazy.
Yep. So, I hear you. Well, that's interesting to know. And I think, you know, people will find it interesting. Like I said, every time I ask that question, to anybody that's on this podcast, you never know what the answer is going to be. And it's always fascinating. So,
you know, I definitely know that in the blind community, I mean, there's definitely a lot of anxiety. You just can't help to not have anxiety and be in the world, you know, and you know what I mean? Especially out in public, out in the world. I mean, you're going to have anxiety, you know, it's just how it kind of works. And people deal with it differently, I guess. I do yoga. I guess I'm kind of like a hippie in a way, modern day hippie or something, but whatever.
Nothing wrong. Well, more power to you.
That's right.
Chip, would you like to go from here then?
Yeah, we're going to close it out with this, Mike. Before we started the recording today, you were talking to us about your trip to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the issues that you encountered there. Why don't you share with our listeners how all that went for you, your time out in Vegas?
Oh, I think it, I mean, overall, it went fairly well. I mean, I do notice that people definitely when you're in casinos, no one cares you have a cane. They do not care. They will trip over your cane. They ain't seeing the cane. It's like that squirrel syndrome. It's just, they just see, all they see is slot machines or something. And I've had people, probably five people trip over me. So that's kind of a thing because people just don't know. But it wasn't too bad. I would say I flew with Spirit, and I wouldn't highly recommend those for visually impaired because everything now is, in Kansas City at least, is all automated. You're doing it yourself. These whole kiosks and you're doing everything. There's no attendant anymore, you know, in some of these airports. You just do it yourself kind of thing. And that's, I could see that being I'm not saying they wouldn't have someone maybe help you, but I could definitely see how that would be challenging for the blind community, you know. Just an added, you know, kind of an obstacle to get over.
And so we understand you came back a little bit richer than when you first went out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm richer, but yeah.
Yeah. It always goes somewhere, doesn't it?
But it is kind of cool to win. It is cool to watch, you know, like when you're winning. It's always cool to watch those machines because you're just thinking, I mean, it could be anything, you know. You know, it could be. Like you have several options, you could be winning there because I kind of know of a person in St. Charles, but won over $19,000 with a dollar bet.
Wow!
Isn't that a cool day? What would you do with that? You ever think about that? Like, oh, $20 a machine, $19,000 came out. I'm like, okay. I'd be like, okay. We need to find this person. Like, hey, do you want to take a group of people to like somewhere else? Like maybe not to Vegas, but
somewhere nearby.
Yeah, and that's something with the MCB. I mean, I know that you have the camp. I know that just a small group of people that I know, the circle that I have. I mean, we definitely are working on going on some trips, you know, and we're looking into that as far as how we're going to figure out. Sure. We got to take multiple cars and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's basically that's what's happened. I mean, really, when I say MCB changed my life, it changed my life in many, many ways. I mean, I've met a lot of people that you know that I do activities with. I met Tiffany. Her parents are actually both blind, and they've been to camp. And I'm sure Carol and Jerry. I'm not sure if you know Caroline. Anyway,
yeah.
I do a lot with her because she's, you know,
Yeah.
If your parents are blind, it's not like they're not out running marathons with you or nothing. So,
Sure.
or doing, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they couldn't be, but they're, you know, they just, she needs, she, I walk with her,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah.
kind of help her out. And it's changed her life for sure.
Did Chip ask you, how long have you been involved with MCB?
Well, no. Well, whenever I met Roger, so that's been, oh man, I hope he's not listening. Would we have, is there a friendiversary? Am I missing? Is there, I hope we don't have like a friendiversary, you know, how they have those things. I'd be like, man, I don't know, man. We've been knowing each other 10 years. I don't know. But
Exactly.
see, I moved here in 2019, so it had to have been somewhere, you know,
Yeah,
somewhere
okay.
close to there, because I know that I hadn't been living here very long because I was walking. It's probably 2020, when sometime in there.
Okay. Okay.
I paid dues twice, so
Yeah. Okay.
well,
Okay.
there you
So
go. Okay,
that,
cool.
yeah.
That's kind
Good
of what I
deal.
know,
Yeah.
but yeah.
Well,
Yeah,
Mike,
so
all right. Mike, I want to thank you for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. I know I'm speaking on behalf of Kay and myself. I believe that I know I have, and I'm sure she has too, that we've just thoroughly enjoyed this today, have a lot of fun with this. And so we want to thank you for being our special guest today here on Meet the People of MCB.
You bet.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was really nice talking. I did want to mention that I do have an electric trike that's it's probably not their best idea to ride. But when we talked to you were talking about independence and how people, you know, my whole family thinks I'm crazy, but I'm just dead set on being able to go get my own dog food and my own groceries.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
But as long as you can see contrast, people are like, can you see? I'm like, well, I can kind of see the road and kind of see the grass, you know.
I've been there before. I can tell
Well,
you stories about my
anyway.
kid's moped, but yeah,
Yeah.
it's
Oh,
really been
yeah.
great to have you on here for sure.
You bet. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or me, Kay Malmquist, at 608-436-2610.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. So have a great week. Stay well, stay safe, and always remember to be kind to your neighbor. Bye-bye for now.